Scripture reading this morning is from the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And I am reading from the English Standard Version. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east, and said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourselves, and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place." He said a number of other things, but let's skip down to verse 15. As the Levites respond, they gathered their brothers and consecrated themselves and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Father, as we look into your word for these few minutes together, I pray that your spirit would speak to us, that your voice would be the voice that is heard, that nothing I say would get in the way of what you want to do, Lord. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last several years, Foster has had a kind of a neat Lenten tradition that has been called the Lenten Cleansing Service. So a guy like me comes along and sort of tweaks the name a little bit this year, and I've called it the Lenten Consecration Service, partly because consecration to me is a little bigger word, a little more encompassing word for, I think, what we want to accomplish together. And each year, at the beginning of Lent, the church has taken some time to conduct this Lenten cleansing service. Even during the times when we've been able to worship with you, I have most often missed that service because we've had obligations in other places. So last year, we came to Lent, and I was the transitional pastor, and my responsibilities were here. So I got to experience that service with you. Those of you that have been around for a while are used to that service. For those of you that maybe haven't been around Foster much, it might actually seem like a weird tradition. And if it does, that's okay. We'll come back to that weird part of it in a little bit. Okay? It's a service that has everything to do with consecration, which is a big theological sounding word. What on earth does it mean? Anyone got an idea what the word consecration actually means?
Set apart.
Set apart, exactly. To be set apart. When Hezekiah tells the Levites to consecrate themselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, he's telling them with a good Hebrew word, set apart yourselves and set apart the house of the Lord. Hezekiah is an interesting guy. The book of 2 Chronicles is an interesting book. The events of 2 Chronicles are also recorded in Kings. But the writer of Chronicles takes a little different approach. In 2 Chronicles, I love the book because it's really a book about revivals. The focus of most of the book of 2 Chronicles is on the reign of five kings of Judah, under whose reign God was at work in particular ways. And Hezekiah is one of those. If you know much about Jewish history and the history of the nation of Judah, you understand that most of the kings of Judah and all of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel were a pretty rotten bunch. They drifted from the Lord, including Hezekiah's dad. Hezekiah's father was a man named Ahaz, King Ahaz. He had reigned for a decade and a half, 16 years, Scripture tells us. And it was not a spiritually rich reign. In fact, Ahaz, when God tried to get his attention by bringing in a foreign nation to oppress Judah, and the foreign nation succeeded, Ahaz's response was, well, they seem to be doing okay. Maybe we need to be worshiping their gods. You want to talk about getting the message backwards? Ahaz did. But his son Hezekiah comes to the throne, and he comes to the throne with a desire to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. What a blessing. And as he begins to do that, what he does has everything to do with consecration, being set apart. So what we want to do for just a very few minutes is to look at this particular biblical example of Hezekiah, to explore our own tradition a little bit, and then we'll talk about just exactly what we're going to do today and how our actions fit into all of that, okay? So Hezekiah's example first. He's reigning during the last century of freedom for Judah. Before the next 100 years is up, the Assyrians will have been shoved aside by Babylon. The Babylonians will have invaded. Jerusalem will fall, and its residents, most of them, taken captive and led back to Babylon. The city destroyed, devastated. But we're not there yet. And there still seems to be opportunity to do that which is right before God. So Hezekiah assumes the rule, and the first thing he does is to open up the temple, which has fallen into disrepair and disuse, and says, let's get this cleaned up. Let's get this cleaned up. Total turnaround from his dad. And Hezekiah calls the people to do three things. Tells them, first of all, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. I love the order of this. You know, if we're going to set apart a place for God, we need to set ourselves apart first. It's really important. In fact, it's much more important than dedicating a place to the Lord, that we dedicate ourselves. Then he says, you set yourselves apart, consecrate the house of the Lord. Set apart the temple. Clean it out. Now, what we're going to do this morning, as far as a facility is concerned, is going to take maybe 10, 15 minutes. It took a whole lot longer than that for Hezekiah, like a couple of weeks. It was a lengthy process. Because the third thing that Hezekiah told them to do was to carry out the filth, clean up the place, because it has been misused. And they were at it for a couple of weeks. In fact, they were at it so long, and the priests were so slow to get around to consecrating themselves, that they ended up with a delayed celebration of Passover. I love that. It's sort of a biblical precedent for preachers to go over, I think, but, well, maybe that's a stretch. What does all that have to do with a Lenten consecration service? And how does what we do kind of fit into what Hezekiah was doing? Because there are a lot of you that have more history with this service than I do, I've asked Bea if she would come up and just take a couple of minutes and share a little bit of the history and the meaning of what we have done as a congregation. So, Bea, the floor is yours, and I hope to eventually get it back. Would you like a mic?
Well, we have been doing this. I was amazed when I really began thinking back on when did we start this, and I cannot remember an exact date, but it was about the mid-1990s to late 1990s, so close to 20 years to my best recollection. And when we first started having a cleansing service, we did it Tuesday nights and the eve, kind of eve before, Ash Wednesday, and opened it up and invited people to come, and they would come, and we took groups and went through different parts of the facility and prayed. And then for several weeks or several different times, we changed it to a Wednesday night because the youth used to meet Wednesday nights for youth group, and we thought, let's have the youth do this with us. And so we did several years where we invited the youth to be part of the cleansing service. And then, I don't remember how many years, but anyway, then maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we changed it to, let's do it Sunday morning when the whole body's here. And, you know, we all have a sense of God's given us this facility. He's given us the property, and we're the stewards of it at this point. And like we had, you know, have been saying, consecrating something is setting it apart. And we have a joy and a responsibility of being sure what God has given us is set apart for holy purposes, for His purposes. And so that's kind of, you know, why we say, okay, Lord, it's only a building. And in a way, it is only a building. We are the church. But it is the building, it is the location where we gather and exalt Jesus Christ, where we worship His name, where we intentionally come and hear the word, where we are equipped, where we have our Bible studies, where we have whatever. So in that regard, it is a place set apart for this community's purposes of praising God and growing in Him. So in the process of going through different areas, what we are really wanting to do in the process of setting it apart is we recognize it's easy to think we're the only ones who are here, because Sunday morning we're the only ones who are here. But, you know, we have two other congregations that meet here. We have the youth in midweek. We have AA meetings that are here every week. We have a community grief group that comes, and they use our facility. We have then other miscellaneous things. And as we come, we have the potential of bringing our humanness. I can't come without my humanness. I don't know about you guys. But we bring the potential of our sin, our hurts, our pain, our sorrows, our brokenness. We might bring our gossip. We might bring our junk. And we can, in doing that in the spiritual realm, we can leave debris. And we can cause a place to be not completely clean. And so part of why we go through the rooms is we're also just saying, kind of, Jesus, only Jesus. Lord, this is your place. This is your facility. Only you. And if there has been any, you know, and I mean, I just think of, in the rooms when we've done this in the past, my thought is usually, okay, Lord, what happens in this room? Okay, we speak clarity. This room has Bible studies. It has Sunday morning group. I speak clarity into that. If there's been any confusion, if there's been any false teaching, if there's been none of that, out of here, only Jesus's, only truth, that kind of thing. So that is part of what we do. But then also we're going to have opportunity to set ourselves apart. Like Pastor Malcolm was saying, that we are the temple. And you're going to go into that, Malcolm, how, okay. So that will be another opportunity of let's get ourselves consecrated. And these songs this morning have been great. I lay me down. I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. There you go. That's got to be our heart when we come to God. We don't own ourselves. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. That's scriptural. We lay ourselves down. May your glory fall in this place. May the fragrance of Christ. And one of the things that has brought such delight and joy to my own spirit is when we've sometimes had guests have come and they'll say, wow, I sense the presence of God here. Well, you know what? We could say it's only a building, and it is only a building, but through our prayers, through our trying and striving to keep it clean, keeping ourselves clean, the presence of God is welcomed here, and that's what we want to do. So this is just a spring cleaning, blowing out what shouldn't be here, but that's kind of the history of it. Can Jenny add something, Malcolm?
Can I stop her?
No.
The phrase praying on site with insight. You can sit in an isolated place and pray for everything that goes on in the church, but when you go to the actual location of what's going on in each of the rooms, it helps you bring to mind how to pray for that. I think it's a much more effective way of doing it than just in isolation. So, if you know, it's nothing magic.
Yes.
But it's a great way of stirring our mind and thinking about what is going on in there. So, I do believe it's a powerful tool to pray on site with us.
Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, we've been spending time Sunday mornings in the Sermon on the Mount. And I've been reminding you every week, we live in a broken world. We do live in a broken world. And the fact that we live in a broken world that has been affected by sin impacts us in all kinds of ways. Well, I was sharing with Session at the retreat yesterday, just in passing, there's all kinds of Old Testament precedent for what we do. You know, when you come into the New Testament, it's hard to find precedent for what we do in this particular service. And I started asking myself, I wonder why that is. Why is that? It's, you know, what the New Testament, get into the New Testament, and almost all of the instances of anointing in the New Testament are related either to health and healing, or they're speaking of Christ himself. It's kind of interesting. And I look at that and I say, well, what's going on here? Two things are going on. I had a friend a number of years ago that planted a church, and his goal for that church was, he said they weren't going to do anything for which they couldn't find a precedent in Scripture. And he couldn't find any precedent for the church owning property. So they didn't own any property. Get into the New Testament, and you're going to have trouble finding a church building. They're not there. Because the church met most often in homes. There isn't any temple as such. But there is a temple in the New Testament, is there not? What is it? It's us. New Testament says that we are the temple. We are the residing place of God's Spirit. That's the temple that needs to be cleaned. That's the temple that most needs to be set apart. And to a degree, when this temple is set apart, then this temple will also be set apart. The consecration of the place happens because of the people who are there. But what we're doing today is trying to make it very evident and to remind ourselves and to remind one another that we are set apart for Jesus Christ individually and as a body. And this facility that God has entrusted to us, we set apart for Him and His glory. And not for us and our glory. I remember being in a church once that was undergoing some controversy and overheard one of the members saying to another about a different group within the church, "Look what they're doing to our church." And, oh my. Got the wrong concept here. First of all, it's not our church. It's His. And we're not doing to His church. We're doing to a building in which His church meets. We are His church. Don't ever lose sight of that. At least not while I'm around. We are the church. Take that seriously. So, here's what we're going to do. In a couple of minutes, the worship team is going to come back up, lead us in a couple of songs. Before that happens, I'm going to be asking our session members to come up, because they're going to be leading in the process of what happens pretty much from here on. And I love that they are. This church has such great lay leadership. And it is such a joy to be able to turn over spiritual responsibility to the elders of this church and know that it's in good hands. As a session met yesterday, In the retreat, I told him, I said, you know, I sometimes tell folks outside of this church that this church can get along quite well without me. They just don't know it. They've got some great leadership. And you do. And I am blessed by that. So I'm going to ask in a moment those leaders to come up. They're each going to tell you in just a sentence what they're going to be doing, where they're going to be, where they are going to physically be for the rest of the service. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And after that, we're going to move into a quiet time here in the sanctuary. During that quiet time, you've got really three choices. You can join one of the teams that will be wandering through various parts of this facility, praying and anointing and setting it apart for the Lord. You're welcome to join any one of those teams you want. You're welcome just to remain here in the sanctuary, quietly in prayer. There'll also be a couple of leaders here up front, ready and prepared to set apart not only the sanctuary, but the people who are in it for the Lord. And you are invited, if you desire to do so, to come forward to be anointed for a brief consecratory prayer. Then eventually we'll regather here for a closing song and a benediction. That's kind of where we're going. Okay? Y'all with me? Leaders, come join me up front. I love these people. I'm going to ask you just each to briefly share what you're going to be doing during this time of consecration.
Can I clarify a little bit too?
Absolutely.
We're going to be singing. I'm going to be playing up here, so I won't be able to be part of the first part of this. But I think the way we discussed it is initially all the elders are going to be spread around the room. So when we're singing the songs up here and I'm playing, then you can go and mingle with these people and be consecrated and stuff. And then when we're through singing, Kathy's going to continue playing. And at that point, we'll disperse to the different parts of the building. And then there'll still be two people up front. So if you feel led to consecrate yourself first, you know, there'll be time for that. And then if you also want to do the walking around the building part as well, you'll have time for that. So there's kind of two phases to the consecrating time. So after I'm done playing, I'm going to meet out here on the porch and we'll be walking around the outside of the building.
And I'm going to just be here praying with you.
Hi, I'll be back in the narthex there, and we'll be focusing on the areas that touch on that, the offices, library, classroom, little prayer room, and as well as the AV booth there. Thinking about some of the ministry that goes on back there and the activities and just praying that that be consecrated to the Lord.
I'll be going downstairs to pray over the fellowship hall.
I will be remaining right here, available to anoint anyone who wants to be personally consecrated.
I'm blessed with the opportunity to pray for the youth rooms downstairs and also the grief room. And I think when I think about these three rooms, I really feel like they're kind of the front lines to the brokenness that we see out there. And so I think I'm not prioritizing them, but I'm saying this is an area where we really need to set apart. We need to pray, and we need to focus on that kind of that cleansing component that be spoke of.
Very good. We'll be on the west corridor, upper corridor, in the parlor, in the little kitchen, the two bathrooms, the prayer room, the nursery, and the study. And I'm going to read from Psalm 51, the Lord dealing with David and his consecration. So if you're coming, be ready to pray.
Thank you. And any of you are free, once the singing's done, to join any of those folks you want, or simply to remain here. If you wish to be anointed before you join one of those teams, I do encourage you to come up during the singing. Otherwise, you're free to come up later during the just the quiet playing. You may be seated. We're not used in our society to dealing with silence, with quietness, but that's what's going to happen for the next 10 or 15 minutes here in the sanctuary. You and God, anointing if you desire it, the teams that are going to various parts of the facility, go. You're welcome to join anyone you wish or to remain here. We'll regather about noon and sing together and close in prayer. Set apart for you, Lord. We are yours. This place, Lord, set apart for you. This place is yours. In us, in this church, be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.